Would you turn with me, please, to the chapter we read in God's Word, John chapter 4. And as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wherever the Lord Jesus went, he was seeking to do good to poor, needy sinners. We find him here in Samaria, outside the city of Sychar, beside Jacob's well. And as a woman comes, he asks for water. But although he asks for water because he is thirsty, he is one who is more concerned for the woman than for himself, and is asking her for water is so that he can use that water as an object lesson, as something of an illustration of the gospel, to point out the fact that you and I, like this woman, have spiritual needs and spiritual thirst, and that Christ alone can supply those needs, that he alone can refresh the soul. Well, the woman may have been quite slow to grasp what the Lord was on about. As the Lord says to her in verse 10, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She hears these words, and she doesn't understand what the Lord is on about. She looks at him. You've got nothing to draw water from the well with, and this well is deep. What are you on about? Are you greater than Jacob who provided this well? Look around. If this deep well, something like 105 feet deep, had to be dug in order to provide water, and even then at times it could run dry, where are you going to find water? Living water, springs of water, that's what it means. Flowing water in this dry area. How slow she was to grasp that the Lord wasn't interested in providing her with a little physical water, but was interested in meeting her spiritual needs. And how thankful we should be that he kept on speaking to her. And how thankful you should be that the Lord keeps on speaking to you of the good things of the gospel. He presses on her. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's notice then what the Lord is speaking of here. And we will consider three things. First of all, there is the woman's spiritual thirst. Then secondly, the living water, which could quench her spiritual thirst. And then thirdly, Christ's directions for quenching her spiritual thirst. Firstly, the woman's spiritual thirst. It's obvious the Lord here is speaking of spiritual matters, for he goes on about everlasting life. It's not something that will keep our body, but something that will provide for our soul. And yet you'll notice, Although she had a great spiritual thirst, she didn't discern it. She doesn't discern it. As the Lord is speaking to her of spiritual things. From verse 10 to 14, what do you see? Abject failure to grasp the point. And at verse 15, she says, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to hither to draw." She's still thinking of things in worldly terms, in terms of literal water, which quenches thirst of the body. It's obvious that she's unaware of what the Lord here is speaking about, that he is speaking of a spiritual thirst, that she's not really considering the great danger she is in of perishing. She's not really aware of the danger she is in, or the lack of peace or of rest that is in her soul. She's only thinking about some water to stop her having to go day by day and fill water pots. One less job to do. Here she is, and she has great need, but she doesn't really discern this. She certainly doesn't pick it up from the Lord's words. Friend, is that not the way many are? Is that the way you are this evening? You enjoy life, the good things of life, and you can say with many in this world, you have all that you need. You're quite self-sufficient. As you're able to provide for yourself physically, so you're able to provide for yourself in every way. How often we meet people, when we're handing out gospel literature, people say, "No thanks, I'm happy, I've all I need." Oh friends, how deceitful sin is. How deceived people are. How deceived this woman was. Are you living in denial that you have a real spiritual thirst and void in your life that must be filled? Isn't the reality that not only she did not discern her spiritual thirst, she was content with supplying her own needs? Just as she would come day by day, week by week, to fill up her water pots so that she could supply her physical need for water, so it would seem that she appears satisfied with trying to fill the void in her life and supply her spiritual needs. She has life, and she gets on with life and the chores of life. Yes, she's had her husband's. She's enjoyed various relationships. And no doubt, she enjoyed her sin as well. And add to that, she has a religion. This perversion of Judaism, this strange mixture that the Samaritans had of a certain acknowledgement of God and parts of his word mixed in with some heathenish rituals as well. She's got these things, and they seem to keep her going, and she seems quite satisfied. And yes, they might not last. Look at her marriages. We're told that she had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. That was the case. And the suggestion we're given is that it wasn't that she was someone who had lost her husbands through death. What a tragic situation it would be if that was the case. But that's not the suggestion. She seems to move on, like so many in her own day, from one relationship to another to another. And there she is, trying to satisfy herself. Trying to satisfy herself with the pleasures of this world. I am quite content. And yes, just as you had to come back day by day to get water, so she had to come back time and time again to get her fill of those things that were satisfying her soul. But she would come back and come back time and time again. Is that what you're like, friend? Are you trying to satisfy that longing and that void that is in your soul? Those spiritual needs that we all have? Well, you can try and satisfy them. And to a certain extent, they may seem to meet the need, but the reality is that you have to come back time and time again. And you'll find that at certain times, the emptiness just appears. The Christian can say that I have found more joy and peace in God than in a time when corn and wine abounded. I found more then. And whether all is going well, that I have problems, there's one in whom I have true refreshment and satisfaction. Do you know such things? When all is going well, it can seem as if all is fine and you're satisfied. And yet isn't the reality? Often that is not the case. How many people are content with false religion and yet have no peace in their soul? Are you content with an acknowledgement of God and yet you have no peace in your soul? No true peace, which can only come through Jesus Christ. Friend, beware of such things. For pacifying your conscience by doing certain things that God demands that you do, that are right to be done, and thinking that will give you peace with God, is a lie, and you know that. One of the problems with a works religion is it never satisfies a soul. Ritualistic religion, it never satisfies a soul. It never gives true and lasting peace with God. Surely you want peace with God and a conscience that you can stand before God and not have to come begging and saying, well, I've done this and I've done that. Hopefully the scales will even out and things will go well. Surely what you want to know is peace and that God is not against you, but God is one who is reconciled to you through the provision he has made. Don't be deceived by being content with satisfying your own needs as to peace with God. It doesn't work. And you know that's true. How many people try and satisfy themselves with the pleasures of sin? Or even lawful pleasures. But whatever they are, they only last for a season. And you need more. And you need increasing amounts of the same to give the same buzz, the same kick. It doesn't work, isn't that true? You need something else. There are those who are satisfied with material things. If only I have this, that will make me happy. If only people think well of me. If only I get on in life and my family get on in life, that's all that matters. How many foolishly speak that way? All that you have, you'll soon have to leave behind. The honours you have will be buried with you. And soon the place that knew you will know you no more. What are these things? They are false ways of satisfying a spiritual thirst. Here's this woman content. Content with things that didn't work. Friend, don't be like that. But notice there is evidence here that in reality she was thirsty. There's evidence here that in reality she was thirsty. Look at her. This woman's not really a happy figure. Why is she alone as she goes out to draw water? And why is she drawing water at noon when the sun's at its zenith in the sky, when it's beating down, when it's not the time to go and draw water? She's a lonely figure. Her sin produces shame. It doesn't give her peace with her fellow men, never mind peace with God. And she must have been aware of her lack of security when it came to relationships. Think of it. You've had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. Isn't it pitiful? From one relationship to another. Now, you and I see these things continually. Marriage is broken down in our society. People have proclaimed liberty and freedom to live, and they join in relationships and then fall out as soon as they join in them and move on from one person to the next, all in the name of liberty and freedom and happiness. And you young folk, that's what people are preaching to you. Isn't the very fact people have to move on from one thing to another, it's saying they never really had peace. They never really had contentment and joy. And you think of an older generation and the love and the joy that they have one with another, the security they have. They don't have to worry about things. They don't have to worry about disease or insecurities, are wondering how a person got on in a previous relationship. None of these things. Don't be taken in by what the world says about relationships, and it's almost a case of the more the merrier. Realize God's blueprint in Scripture for marriage is the only sane way. This woman, no doubt, she was longing for love, and she never really found that. Plenty lust, little love. She's not ready to acknowledge that yet, but there's evidence. She's thirsting for something. Aren't you spiritually thirsty if you don't have Christ tonight? Don't you have needs that you know you cannot supply? Needs, the need of peace and contentment and happiness in this world. And the need above all for peace with God through Jesus Christ. And isn't it true? The more you take a draft of the things of this world, the more thirsty you become. Like those who have been stranded in a boat in the ocean. All around there is water, and there's not a drop to drink. And what happens if they start drinking that seawater? It only increases the raging thirst. It does them no good. What you need is something more, what the Lord alone can supply. Isn't it true that when you have what you think will give you satisfaction, there's always a fly in the ointment to destroy it? Think of King Ahab. You remember King Ahab? There he is. He is king of the northern kingdom of Israel. He has a beautiful palace, plenty of power. He's a king after all. And he goes into a big sulk and feel he won't eat, all because a man says, I won't allow you to buy my vineyard. He had so much. But as he looks down out of his palace and sees his vineyard that belongs to Naboth, he might as well have had nothing. He might as well have just been a pauper, having nothing and struggling for life because of that one little vineyard. Isn't that what sin is like? And you remember Haman, who was promoted to being second in the whole kingdom of the Persians, a huge kingdom. They covered from India to Africa. What power, what honor, what riches were his. Or people would say, I would give anything to be in his position. He's got everything this world can give him. And as he passes by the gate of the palace of Shunem, there's a man there that won't bow, Mordecai. And all that he has is worth nothing because of this one man, Mordecai the Jew, who won't bow. Though everyone else in the palace would bow, this one man is spoiling everything. You see, he wasn't satisfied. Despite all he had, and despite all you have, if you don't have what Christ here offers, the reality is, and you know it, you don't have lasting satisfaction. You have a spiritual thirst. That only Christ can satisfy. How often, beneath the smiling face, there's a lack, an aching heart. Is that you tonight, friend? Well, notice secondly, the living water which could quench your spiritual thirst. The living water which could quench your spiritual thirst. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's saying that he has something which can quench your spiritual thirst. You'll notice it's described as the gift of God. So here's something that you need to look to God to supply. It's not something you'll find that you're able to supply yourself. And you'll notice this is something that gives lasting and satisfying satisfaction. Those who have come to Christ have found immediate satisfaction and an ongoing satisfaction, a joy, and a peace, a contentment in him. And you'll notice there's a plentiful supply. This is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's a spring of water. It's water which is flowing as opposed to a stagnant pool. There's a plentiful supply. Part of the trouble with the things of this world is if you've got them, I don't have them. But what Christ gives, he gives to all his people, each one who goes to him. And he tells us what he gives is eternal life. And it gives eternal life with it. It is something which lasts forever. Here's this flow that continues and gives life forever. Well, what's he speaking of? There are some who, because of verses later on in John, see John 7:37 onwards, where you've got similar language used of the Holy Spirit being given to those who respond to Christ, they presume that that is what he is referring to here. But it seems that really all that the Lord is referring to here isn't something as specific as that, but it's something more general. And really what he is speaking of is that he is the one who is able to quench the spiritual thirst of sinners, your spiritual thirst, my spiritual thirst. He is able to quench that by giving the gift of salvation, which is bound up with himself. In other words, he is talking about something that he can give, he can supply, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Now, what will water do? This woman goes to get water. She'll use it for cleaning things, for purifying things. She'll use it, perhaps, to enjoy a cool, refreshing drink. Well, isn't salvation all that to a sinner? What do you need? The grace of God in Christ. What do you need? Pardon of your sin. Have you come to see your sin as something that alienates you from God and God from you? And God has a controversy with you. And he warns that the soul that sins, it shall die. How shall you be at peace with God? You cannot provide it yourself, but it is a gift of God. That which supplies your need. The forgiveness of sins through the death of Christ. You won't find it anywhere else, friend. But you'll find that there's peace of conscience through faith in Christ. God's people here, they know they go on and they sin daily. They feel the grief of that sin. And they repent over that sin. They mourn over their sinfulness. But they've got peace of conscience. How can that be, you see? Because they know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And they stand before God, not on the basis of what they do, but on the basis of what Christ has done in his obedience and in his death on the cross. That's what you need, friend. That is what Christ gives his people. He gives the forgiveness of sins and peace with God. What do you think of how we use water to cleanse and to purify? What do you need? A pure heart. Because without holiness, no man shall see God. And God will not tolerate you as you are just now in your sin. But what does he promise? The Holy Spirit to sanctify, to cleanse, to break the power of sin, to help the sinner become holy. That's what he gives. Victory over sin. Enjoyed partly now, enjoyed perfectly at death. What do you need? Help for the challenges of life. Oh, I will give him all needed grace and help. I will give him friendship. Christ, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What do you need? Preservation in this life. God's grace continually. And the promise of heaven. All the blessings of salvation. That really is what he is offering here. He's saying, look, I will satisfy your spiritual needs and provide for you and save you and give you joy and peace now, contentment now, and the blessings of salvation forever. Just as that person who's thirsty takes a drink and gets immediate relief. So the soul in coming to Christ and embracing Christ and seeing what Christ has done gets the relief of peace with God, the forgiveness of sins. And here was as well to be continually flowing, springing up into everlasting life. That's the promise. So it's immediate and permanent relief. The enjoyment of God ultimately, forever and ever. Growing as the capacity to enjoy God grows. Do you enjoy God? Or is God against you? God's people, they enjoy him. And they enjoy his presence. They enjoy fellowship with him. And you have this wonderful hope that enjoyment is going to grow and grow. Their capacity to enjoy God will increase. It's as if the water is filling them, and as they expand, as it were, the way you see a balloon could grow and expand as water pours in it, so they shall grow and expand and have a full enjoyment of God. That's the promise that Jesus gives here. How can it be yours? Is it yours? Well, notice what the Lord says to this woman. There's thirdly, Christ's directions for quenching her spiritual thirst. And where must it begin? Well, it must begin with you, with the acknowledgement of your need and the source of help. You see, unless you acknowledge your need, you will not go to Christ. If you're still living in denial that you have all that you have in this world to satisfy yourself, and you do not need Christ, you will never go to him. And what you must do is admit your need. Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew what I could do for you, if you realized the problem you had," there was part of the difficulty. She was refusing to acknowledge her need, and she would not identify Christ as a source of help. She's refusing to realize that true piety consists not in having Jacob's land or Jacob's well, but having Jacob's faith. That's where she'll find true religion and true satisfaction. Have you bowed before the Lord, acknowledged him as the one who you need? Have you asked of him to give you this living water? Notice you must ask for this water. It says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him. You must ask. In other words, it's not just going to happen. The scripture continually stresses your responsibility to seek the Lord and to ask him to supply that need, to ask him for help, to acknowledge him as the author of salvation, and to go to him and to seek salvation from him. Have you done so? Friend, he is the only one who can supply your need. But he is willing and he is able to do so. Is there not a fullness of grace in him? And as he addressed this woman personally, so we find in Scripture him addressing people indiscriminately and saying, look, come to me and I will supply your spiritual needs. Haven't you that beautiful passage in Isaiah 55? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. There's the water seller. He set up his stall. And he's shouting out to people, are you thirsty? Look, I've got water. It's better than anything else. Why are you wasting your money and your energy and your life on things that will not satisfy? Listen to me, he says. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He freely gives. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Without money, without price, if you knew the gift of God, literally the free gift of God. Friend, do not be thinking you need to do something to earn the blessing and the favour of God. Salvation must be received as a gracious, free gift, undeserved. The gospel humbles us, you see, but it humbles us to lead us to the magnificence of the grace of God in Christ, to see how great God is and how gracious he is and how willing he is to save all who will come to him. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Are you saying, is that for me? Am I included in that offer? Well, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And you think of the water seller. He set out his stall. And he's saying, come and take it. And if you were thirsty, oh yes, you might ask, are you sure it's free? And you're assured, yes, it's free. How often we've been in these situations, we wonder, is it really free? But when we're told and assured it's free, there's no strings attached, we go and we take what it is we're offered. And you stop the thinking, is there anything to hinder me? And here is Christ, ho, everyone that thirsteth. In other words, you a thirsting sinner. There is provision made for all who will take Christ. And you're not to think that you are somehow debarred and have no right to go to him, because your warrant to go to him are his gracious offers in the gospel, such as Isaiah 55 that we read earlier. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Aren't you thankful? I'm so thankful. It's left indiscriminate and open, because that means it includes the likes of me and you. If you go to him and take him, you shall have him as the one who can satisfy your need. But notice this also. Not only must you acknowledge your need and ask for this water, you must drink this water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Oh, you know about it. And perhaps you acknowledge that. Perhaps you're saying tonight, well, I know I need to be converted. And I hope the day will come when I am converted and I find Christ. Friends, just knowing what you need will do you no good. Knowing that a little water will quench your thirst doesn't help you. If the water's still in the tap or in the cup or in the bottle, you have to go and take it and drink it. And it won't do just to taste of it. You must drink it. It won't just do to hear about it and be drawn to it and to draw near. You must go to Christ and fully rely on him and cast your soul on him and unburden it upon him alone and ask him to be your Saviour. In other words, just as you would have to take that bottle off the stall and make it your own, so you must appropriate Christ and make him your own and look to him alone and drink of that water. Friend, have you drunk of it? If you have, thank God for his free and gracious offers and a full provision, and rejoice that it will be a fountain continually welling up into everlasting life. It will never stop flowing. He'll keep you. You need that. My friend, if you've not drunk, if you're still thirsting, or if you're living in denial, remember the day is coming when you're going to feel a thirst. Oh, what raging thirst there is in a lost eternity. Think of the rich man in hell. Oh, that I could have a drop of water. Nothing is given to him. And friend, that will be you. If you go on rejecting the gracious offers of Jesus Christ in the gospel, because you leave it to another time, or because you're living in denial, if you go on that way, friend, the day is coming when you will know a thirst which shall be unquenchable and which will drive you to despair. What a fearful thing. Should you not tonight resort to that fountain? Resort to Christ, who alone can give you the water that satisfies the soul. He offers it tonight. He won't always offer it. There's not a drop for the rich man. Who knows when you might join that rich man? God forbid. But there's only one sure way of being secure, and that is to go and to ask of him. And if you ask of Christ, he will give you that living water of which you shall never thirst again. Let us pray.